that's added to the ranks of that. But the greatest way that we act like the devil is when we're filled with self, self-will, filled with pride. We are no more like the devil than we are saying, I want my way. I think I should have this. I think they're no more like Christ is when we're forgiving people, because he is such a forgiving individual. It's how we can show our Christ-likeness. But when we are filled with self and filled with stubbornness and filled with disobedience, we would be like the devil. One preacher put this way, however victorious Satan may have been over the first Adam, it is certain that he met a complete and final judgment and sentence in the last Adam, and that the bruising of the serpent's head was a part of the Adamic covenant was realized. Referring to his cross, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And again, in John 16:11, of judgment, because of the prince of this world is judged, still there is another scriptural testimony. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them in it. And that's in Colossians chapter number 2. It's clear that Satan may have been triumphal with Adam, but the God and prince of this world is now been finally triumphal over. So you think about this in a judicial way. The judicial system. Many times they will pronounce a judgment on someone. They'll make it known before it's ever executed. You think about it when you're in the courthouse. They say, you know, you're sentenced to this amount of time. Sometimes they give them some time to go and wait. Sometimes they tell them they can wait a week. Sometimes they tell them they can wait a month. Sometimes I've been sitting in the courthouse, and no, it wasn't because of something I did, but I was there to be supportive of somebody else, and I've been sitting in the courthouse, and I watch him say, hey, look, you got a job. We don't want you to lose your job because we want you to pay whatever fine it was. We're going to let you go and sit in court, and I'm going to be for every weekend for 6 months to make up your days. You know, just because the pronouncement was there, just because there was an execution that was there and says, this is your decision. This is your pronounced judgment. It's not always executed. The criminal was under sentence during the interval, but he's waiting execution. Someone who has been maybe put to say you're going to be put to death because they did a certain crime. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it's years. Sometimes it's decades before that person ever awaits and reaches that foe. Reaches that point. He said, Pastor, where are you getting it? And that's what the devil is. He is a defeated foe. He has been charged, he has been convicted, and he has been defeated. He is just waiting the execution of his order. That's how defeated he is the fact that he is now unable to do anything to be able to free himself. Satan is a defeated foe, and that does not mean he is banished to the lake of fire yet. That sentence has been decreed, but the full execution of his sentence, it remains to be carried out. So why does God leave the devil in the world? And that's an interesting question. I don't know if we know the exact answer for that. Why would God allow that to happen? Why would God be a part of that? And it wouldn't be easier for him just to take and cast the devil into the pit of fire or the lake of fire. Well, there's a couple thoughts here. One preacher puts it this way. What God is doing is, he is gathering the bride of Christ that will sit upon the throne with Jesus. That's us, the church. And as during this time, while the devil is ruling and reigning in this world system, the bride of Christ is being brought together. Also, another person comments it this way. Another probable reason for the delay in the termination of evil in the world and the execution of judgment upon Satan is that the presence of evil in the world provides the Christian with the ceaseless conflict by which he can alone gain the character of an overcomer. So the overcoming of evil forces prepares a believer to rule and reign with him in Christ. The dethroning of Satan does not mean that he is non-existent. Contrarily, he is something that God uses as a sandpaper to smooth out us as saints. Now, whether you have different thoughts and different reasons why God left the devil in here, we're not God. It's not our job to understand that. It's our job to be faithful with that. But he is a defeated foe. just as he has been banished, he hasn't been banished yet, but the orders have already been executed. He's been found guilty, and he's been defeated. At the cross, Jesus, as we looked at in Colossians, spoiled principalities and powers. The cross is our basis of deliverance for the satanic powers. And he now holds a very lofty position, and that's Jesus. You think about the lofty position that is there. The Bible says, wherefore God also have exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. So what the Bible is saying, when he went to the cross, God gave, when Christ won the battle and Christ won the victory, this is what happens here. He's highly exalted. He's given a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things of heaven and things on earth. All these different things. You think about it. One's talking about the Spirit of God. One's talking about the natural realm. One's talking about a satanic will. And all beings in the created universe are subject to Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus dethroned Satan and now has lifted Christ up to an exalted position. So, does any of us think that the devil is going to be able to defeat Christ? The answer would be no. Does any of us think that really God and the devil are battling it out and somehow, some ways, the devil actually has some type of authority or some type of right? No, the answer is not the case. But in all reality, in Christ, we have the same amount of ability and the same amount of power to overcome the devil. But the difference is we deal with a flesh and we deal with our old nature. Think about this lofty position. If you're there and there's a police officer out there on Oak Stump, and that police officer, Oak Stump, he motions for you to pull over, motions for you to stop. What are you normally going to do? You're going to stop. You're going to pull over. You're going to do what you're supposed to. Now, if I was out there, and, well, maybe not me. We'll use Wesley. If Wesley was out there, and you were in a hurry, and Wesley was standing on the side of the road over, and he told you to stop or pull over, what would you do? Don't run him over. Don't run him over. You're not going to stop. If a stranger, you know, a stranger could be there, and unless you see that they're in trouble and the Lord lays it upon your heart, I get that, I understand that, but there's an authority behind the badge. There's an authority behind the police officer. He can command a huge truck to pull over to the side of the road with the mere gesture of his hand. However, a person can gesture, a person can flash lights, a person can scream all day, a person can wave his hands up and down. If you see somebody like that, more than likely you're just going to keep on riding by because you're worried that they might be crazy. It's not going to get even the smallest car to pull over. What's the difference? The police officers have a delegated authority to direct traffic. Drivers recognize and respect the power given to a policeman by the state. Without that power that stands behind the uniform and the badge they wear, drivers would not respect and obey them. And it's the same thought here as the position that we have in Christ. In and of ourselves, we are no match for the evil one. Even Michael the archangel said, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Christ. He says, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but the Lord rebuked thee. So Michael the archangel said to him, hey, look, he says, I'm going to let the Lord rebuke you. I'm going to let the Lord deal with you. I'm going to let... That's Michael as the archangel says that. Now, we learned a long time ago in Ezekiel 28 about Satan being the anointed cherub. Satan had a higher ranking position than the archangel. And he was full of wisdom, and he's perfect in beauty, he's perfect in ways before sin entered into him. And though Satan is powerful and brilliant, Christians have no cause to be afraid, and Christians have no cause to be scared. Ephesians gives us this insight. Look what it says here in chapter 1, verse number 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who will believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this in these next phrases. So it says, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it's saying that Jesus is seated far above principality, he's seated far above power, seated far above might and dominion. And all authority is saying here, all authority in verse number 22, and have put all things under his feet. So all authority has been delegated to him. The Lord and Satan are not presently engaged in a head-to-head conflict to determine who's going to win. Christ won that on the cross, and this is the important thing of understanding and listening, that Christ's authority and Christ's opinion, he has won that. Everything has already been given to him. It's not a battle. It's going to see who's going to be the victor in the end. The ultimate fate of Satan and all those who decide to follow him have already been decided, and he is presently awaiting his execution of the order of his judgment against him. He is subject to the authority of Christ and his power. Now, why is God allowing the devil to do as he pleases? I think the devil would do a lot worse if God did not put some type of restraints. It tells us that Christ is also the head of the church. So not only has he put all things under his feet, he also talks about how he is the head of the church. And as the head of the church, he moves us into what we should and should not do. He's put everything underneath his feet, so Christ has complete authority and has complete power. So what does that mean for me? There's an enforcement by faith. Believers are not victims of the devil. Christ's victory over Satan is our victory over Satan. The evil one no longer has power over the saint who is walking the light. He may attack. He may do whatever he can with God's permission, but we are no longer open game to be taken captive by him at his will. If you read chapter 2, you think about verses 1, 2, and 3, it talks about how bad things are for those that do not believe. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our lusts, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you read those first three verses, and things sound pretty bad. We're dead. You can't be any deader than anyone else. Some people think of a person who is a really, really bad sinner. We're all dead in our trespasses and sin. Tonight, we might look at these next two words, but God, and it shows how he steps in. But you know, a person who is dead is dead. Doesn't matter if it's Osama bin Laden who did all those wicked things. He's dead compared to someone who might have done some good things. You know, they're both just as dead. And spiritually, a person is just as dead until they know Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying in this description in verses 1, 2, and 3. But verse number 4 shows that there was a difference that was made. Those six letters, but God. And as I said, as we get to the Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to see that. But God made a difference. All throughout the Bible, you see that phrase, but God. You think about Joseph when he was talking to his brothers who come back and they were worried that Joseph was going to then kill them or put them in slavery after their father died. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And over, it's an interesting Bible study. And like I said, we might look at it a little bit tonight, but things were really bad and things were really desperate, but God stepped in and made the change. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. You go to those verses before that in Romans chapter number 5. It talks about how we're dead. It talks about how we're enemies. But God made the difference. And here it is, and the reality is, we had to learn how to enforce these things by faith. We had to learn how to understand and believe and trust, because faith is where it comes in. We do not have to sin. We do not have to give ourselves over to those things. Christ, as we looked at in just a few seconds ago, he has been given all power above principality and power and might and dominion. Everything that we learned about the devil already and the world he works in, the schemes that he has, Christ has already been given authority of that, and he's given it, and he's above all that. And we would all agree with that. Apply to us. Let's keep on reading in verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now look at what it says next. And have raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ. And you see some of the challenges in the verses that are given here. 1 John 4:4. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, what is in us is greater than what's in the world. He has been, everything's been given to him. Everything's underneath his feet. everything he is above, the principalities, he is above the power and the might. These are things that have already happened. Christians have a positional advantage of being seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Though the victory has been won judicially, it has to be enforced by faith. Many statutes and laws are on the books. However, states and countries must enlist police officers to enforce those laws. Unless acted on, the statutes are meaningless. Likewise, it is our duty to enforce the legal defeat of Satan in our own personal lives. What do you say? When you think about it, there are people out there that run the roads and they go kind of fast. And sometimes people speed. If the police officers just ignored it and never did anything about it and never gave anybody a ticket, never pulled anybody over, then the law would be worthless. If you go back and look at some of the laws that are on our books today, and some of those things are so outdated and so old, it's kind of comical, some things that they say that you can, you can't do. It's because the laws have just been forgotten or just not even being paid attention to. Are those laws worthless? Are those laws worth anything? No, they're worthless, because no one is enforcing them. The point is that we must learn how to enforce this by faith. Just as the laws and statutes must be something that is applicable and must work in causing to make a decision to happen. How many times do we think it's wrong when someone who does something wicked and evil and does not get the just due that he deserves? When the devil gets in our lives and the devil tries to cause us to do what's wrong, we are also supposed to be like those law enforcement officers. We have the duty to enforce the legal defeat in our own personal lives. Think about what Christ said unto Peter. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Think about it. He's saying, I'm giving you all this right. I'm giving you all this power. I'm giving you all this authority. He talks about how if you just say to a mountain to be moved, how the mountain can be moved. You say, who can do that? I understand what you're saying in the physical world, but think about even in the spiritual world. The devil has to listen to us. The devil has to listen to the authority that God has given to us. He says, Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he says, go ye therefore. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go with my power. Obviously, the plan of God is to use the church as a delegated power to the bruising of Satan's head. And if we would learn to just the authority that God has given us, we could see that Satan is a defeated foe. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying you can have victory over your sin. I'm saying that you don't have to have those wicked thoughts. I'm saying you don't have to be someone who is annoying. I'm saying that you don't have to be someone who is all taken up with yourselves. You can truly give yourself over to the Lord, and greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors than who loved us. If you know Christ, you're seated up in the heavenlies with him in a authority and in a position, and you can have victory. And that's the important truth to understand and get, is you don't have to live like the world. You can actually have power. Now, when we do that, we got to realize, hey, do I want that? It's something I have to enforce. It's something I have to say no to my flesh. It's something I have to say no to my old nature and say, I do not want that. I want to enforce that by faith and say, I don't need that anymore. So you say, Pastor, you make it seem easier than what it really is. Well, the question is, do we use what God's given us, that position and that authority? We can tell the devil no. So let's think a little bit about resisting the devil, putting Satan to flight. One of the greatest things in the world is when you can see in a spiritual way that the devil comes to try to attack you and you send him running. You know, remember, this big, giant you know, Michael the Archangel couldn't defeat him. Michael the Archangel said to him, he said, I'm not going to bring a railing accusation against you. I'm going to let the Lord rebuke you. But according to what the scripture says, we have more authority with Christ than Michael the Archangel. Now, we can't do the things that Michael the Archangel can do, obviously, but we are the bride of Christ. We're in the position with him. Think about what it says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's the key in this? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You know, that's the important thing. The preparations of a spiritual battle presupposes submission to God. All attempts to resist Satan will be fruitless apart from total commitment to Christ. Once we meet the condition of submission, we can resist the devil and he will flee. You think about putting Satan to flight. You think about it. That the devil has come to you, trying to tempt you, trying to get you to do what's wrong, and there is a way that you can resist him to the point he has to flee from you. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I don't know about you, but he's someone who's messed with my life. He's messed with my family's life. He's messed with this world so much. Well, what the Bible's saying here is that you have an authority to take him and send him running. Question is, most of us don't use that. Most of us don't see that ability and that power that God's given us. The promise and practice of effectual resistance will excite the heart of a growing saint. The experience of Satan retreating in an opposite direction can be thrilling. It can be something that we get excited about, and he needs to get accustomed to defeat. We do not have to tolerate what the devil wants to bring into our lives. We do not have to tolerate a barrage of unholy thoughts. We don't have to have mental assaults. We do not have to have defeats. We can choose to do what is right and to live above him. Think about what we learned before about point to the blood. We learned about back in the Old Testament with the Passover that the blood that was put on there, it caused the destroyer not to be able to go in. It caused the destroyer not to be able to enter into that room. And if we'll learn and understand, and he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser or brother is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. Now listen to this next verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now think about it. They're saying the reason why they were able to overcome was because of the blood of the Lamb. We can have victory because of the blood of the Lamb. Just as the destroyer could not enter into the house and kill the firstborn, it means that the devil has no right, has no authority, has no able or ability to get into your mind with his thoughts without your permission. It's something that you allow to stay there. It's something that you allow to think about. It's something that you allow to occur because of the blood of the Christ, we can reject those thoughts and we can reject those opinions. These saints were specific. It means they overcome their adversary by the blood of the Lord and also by the word of his testimony. Once you've been saved by the blood of Christ, we're under God's authority and protection. When our conscience is void of offense toward God and man, Satan has no power over us. Indeed, he and his demonic hosts are subject to the name and authority of Christ. It's something that they have to tremble at. Just as we don't have to listen to that guy on the side of the road trying to get us to pull over, the devil would have to listen to us because of the authority that Christ has given us. By faith, we must see the blood applied to the doorposts of our mind. And when satanic suggestions come our way, all we have to do is point to the blood and say that the blood is the basis of our victory. Christ has already dealt with that. Christ has already paid with that. And we don't have to listen to the devil. We do not have to give in. Why is it that we get so angry? Why is it that we get so mad? Why do we get so frustrated? It's because we allow the old nature in our flesh and the devil to have victory in our hearts and lives. It's a defeated foe. And if we would just learn to see him as that defeated foe, that one that is headed to hell and he's already been sentenced and the execution's going to happen someday, but we ourselves have the authority and right to say no to him and resist him and cause him to flee. Another way that it was done is through the spoken word. Why don't you take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 4. I'm not sure if we're going to have time to do all of that, but in Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus teaches us how to deal with the devil. He teaches us how to deal with the devil. In Matthew chapter number 4, Satan comes to him. And as Satan is coming to him, Jesus responds by quoting scripture. When Christ was confronted by Satan in the wilderness with temptation, he responded by speaking the word. Note carefully the method of our Lord used in resisting the temptation. And you can see here in verse number 4, we're now trying to read all the way through verses 1 through 11. The devil comes. The devil tempts him. In verse number 4, Jesus said, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Go to verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, over and over, how did he respond to the temptation? He used the spoken word of God. So how do we get the devil to be the one that we can send on a flight? How do we see and resist him and see him flee from us? Is by believing in the blood of Jesus Christ and by the authority of his word and the authority of his power. We talk to him, the word of God. He can't do anything to fight that. Jesus verbally rebuked Satan each time Satan tempted Christ. He used an appropriate scripture and he addressed the enemy directly. The spoken word has tremendous power. God spoke the universe into existence. Christ pronounced a curse on the barren fig tree and all the different things that happened. Think what he says here in Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. They were talking about the faith that it took. It says, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do that this which is done to the fig tree, but so if ye shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever ye ask, in prayer and believing, ye shall receive. And he said, Pastor, I've heard all those promises before about prayer and all those different things. I don't think it's true. That means you don't believe the Bible to be true. God in his perfect time and God in his perfect plan can do anything he chooses to do. And he tells us to live by faith. He tells us that we can have victory. He tells us that we can do all these different things through him and we do not have to sin. Don't let your pet sin stays with those things. You can have victory over it. I like the thought about in Jude 9 where Michael the archangel says, look, the Lord's going to have to rebuke you. But what was the difference? Well, he's not in Christ. The angels themselves, it says in 1 Peter 1:12, they are interested to look into that mystery of redemption. It talks about how the angels look into the redemption that we have received, and we are far richer than we've ever imagined. We've been equipped with what God has given us, the ability to resist the devil. Michael the archangel does not have that same ability that we do to send the devil fleeing. And it's kind of an interesting thought. Here he says we can resist the devil, and the devil has to flee, but Michael the archangel says, look, God's going to have to take care of you. We have such a tremendous ability, and we have so much more and far richer than we ever imagined. We are equipped by the Almighty God to be able to resist the devil and put him to flight. When Satan comes knocking on the doorpost of your mind, all we have to do is point to the blood and speak to the enemy. And I want you to understand that this is not easy to do, but think about this. Where do your wicked thoughts come from? When you have those wrong thoughts, those wicked thoughts, they come from the devil. When you have those fiery darts, we talk about everything that's good and everything that's bad, where they come from. All those fiery darts, all those things that are troublesome to us, they come from the enemy. If we refuse these thoughts and we give no place for them, if we command Satan and his emissaries to depart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what could happen? Satan will have to leave you alone. Doesn't have a choice. Under the power of the blood and under the power of the authority of the word of God, he says he will have to resist you. He'll have to flee from you. So, well, why does he keep on coming back? Well, that's another thought. You know, that word Beelzebub. Now, that word Beelzebub is a name that's been given to the devil, and he's referred to as Beelzebub. Most commentators think it's also the same name, Baal-Elzebub, that's found in the Old Testament because of the Greek language versus the Hebrew. That Baal-Elzebub is something that's actually called the Lord of the Flies is what it means. Yeah, so the Lord of the Flies is what it means. So it gives that impression about a fly. You ever been to a spot where there's a fly there and you have to try to knock it away and have a bunch of flies and all you do is you take it and you hit it and guess what happens? The fly comes back. And so that Lord of the Flies kind of gives a neat illustration how, yeah, you might knock it out of the way. It might stay gone for a few seconds, but it comes back. I hate it when you're sleeping and there's some type of fly that's around and you feel that it land and you swipe at it. And you know what? A few seconds later, it comes back. It comes back and it comes back. And that's what the devil is going to do in our heart and life. You know, even though we swat them away, they're going to come right back. And what a description of the devil, how he assaults our mind persistently. Yes, you can send him running, you can send him away, but there's victory for us. we can experience victory through the bombardment of the unholy thoughts that he continues to give to us. If we tell Satan that he must leave us alone or that he must leave us, you know, it will happen according to what the Bible says. But it starts with this. It says, submit thyself. You're not going to get there until you submit yourself, therefore, to God. You say, boy, I'd love to have victory over this physical thing. I'll have the victory in my thought life. But where does it all begin? It's when we submit ourselves to God. So when we give ourselves over to God and say, God, okay, I'm yours, whatever you want me to do. And as we submit to him, then we come to the realization that we need to resist him. And that resistance is when we point to the blood. That resistance is when we use scripture. That resistance is when we can say, I know I can have victory because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that I have the authority and ability of sitting in the heavenlies with God to be able to say no to the sin, and I'm not serving in that sin. I can reckon myself dead to that sin, and I do not have to do that. But it begins with submitting yourselves to God. Then you resist the devil. And then he flees from you. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things in life is when you see the devil trying to attack you, and then you turn around and you send him running. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service to follow. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the lesson. I pray that the thoughts got across today. I pray that there's a lot of things that we try to cover and a lot of things, but we need to be willing to reckon ourselves dead. We need to understand the authority that Christ has, that he everything's under him, and that he's above the principalities, he's above the dominions, he's above all those things, and we're seated in the heavenlies with him, and we can choose not to sin, and we can resist the devil, but we must first be willing to submit to God. Lord, help us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.